I'm grateful to get to be speaking this morning. I do miss it, but I got to tell you that the stuff that we've been hearing from these guys, from our guys, from other guys over the course of the last 7 weeks have been unbelievable. I've heard some of the best messages I've ever heard in my life coming out of this thing, and I'm not the one teaching them. It's just refreshing for me. I think it's refreshing for the church, and we've got a few more people that are going to speak in weeks to come, and some of them have never even spoken here before, and so that's exciting too. Anyway, over the last 7 weeks, we've been in this series on what is the gospel, and today we're still there, but we've made a change because the change will do us good. And I want to just tell you that you know, I know that over the last 7 weeks it's been very doctrine heavy, and to be honest with you, it'll still be doctrine heavy through what we teach because that's just how we teach. But the second half of this series, the way this is going to play out is that we're going to see. And by the way, the mic is doing like a crazy thing. It's been doing a crazy thing. We don't know what it is. It's got a demon. If somebody can cast it out, just raise your hand and come up and we'll tell you to leave or something. Okay. All right. But over the next second half of the series, one of the things that we really want to come through is the application of the gospel. We don't want to just fill people full of knowledge and say, here you go, and you know, get good and you know, fat and juicy on the all the knowledge that you can here, but we want you to be able to apply it to your life. We want it to be able to change things for you. And that's what we're talking about today. I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out and tell you, we're talking about how that the gospel changes everything. And today, that's the theme. And to be honest with you, there's no one verse that just says that. But we see from a collection of scripture that we see all over the place a theme of an understanding that the message of the gospel changes, and it changes all things. I've yet to see something that doesn't change. It changes how we live. It changes how we play. It changes how we're married. It changes how we're parents. It changes, and we're going to talk about a lot of those things more specifically in the weeks to come, but today we're just talking about how it changes everything. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in just a few minutes. I want to talk back for just a minute about the past 7 weeks. The very first week I talked about good news, and I don't know if you were here for that or not. In fact, if you've missed any of the last 7 weeks, I am highly encouraging you to go and podcast, catch up on the weeks that you missed. Again, some incredible stuff has come out of this series already. Over the last 7 weeks, the very first week, I talked about that the gospel is good news. And I don't know about you, but good news is a good thing. I like good news. I like to get good news. I don't know about you, but sometimes when the phone's ringing, I can't help but sometimes just go, what are they going to tell me? You know, and because I mean, I don't know about you, because I've got certain people when they call, generally they're gonna lay something on me, and I'm like, oh, that's great to hear. Thanks for that. We appreciate that. But I'm looking for good news, right? And so for a lot of us, I think for us to understand that this is not just the good news, this is the good news, it is the best news. It is the best news, because let's just face it, on your worst day, when your kid is, you know, lighting the curtains on fire, and one kid is pulling another kid's arm backwards and breaking it in half, you know, even still on those days, good news can make a bad day great, right? Am I telling the truth? And so, like, you can be like, you know, all that's going on, and you can be like, awesome, praise Jesus, don't worry, honey, we'll take you to the hospital in a little while. You know, and so I think for us to recognize that this is the good news, the best news that we could get, and it changes everything. The second and third weeks of the series, we talked about the story of God. We talked about his mission. We talked about from the beginning, talking about from creation, how God created everything perfect, and then how man, we fell, and then sin came into the picture, and how that played out, and how Jesus God for his glory sent Jesus for his glory and for the love that he had for us to save us and take the place for us that we deserved, which was death. Saved us. An amazing, amazing thing. and how that continues on toward the kingdom that was to come and is here now and came with Jesus. And Ben talked about that last week. We're going to touch on that in just a second. And for us to understand that we are a part of the story of God. Now, we can be a part of our own story if we want to. We can definitely, we're great at that sometimes. We're like so good with our own story, you know? But the truth is that God has called us to be a part of his story. And so we see that in the story of God, and we have the story as the Bible, by the way, if you didn't know, if you missed that, the story of God, this is the story of God. This is not a bunch of individual stories. Okay? This is not your book of fairy tales. This is collectively the story of God. And by it, it's all tied together. By it, we have the mission of God. Later on, Logan came and talked about the gospel not being religion. And it's purposeful in the way we had everything ordered. Logan came and talked about the gospel not being religion. What an unbelievable message. You should go podcast it if you didn't hear it. And in this message, he talked about something that is so heavy duty to us as a church in the South. And in fact, when I think about this particular topic, I automatically think back to when I was working on my degree in Seattle, and a bunch of these guys that they put me with, basically there was a whole bunch of us together that were church planters. And I'm talking about guys that have planted churches in L.A. and Philadelphia and, North Mexico. And I mean, just some crazy places, Santa Fe, all over the place, these guys have planted churches. And then they get to me and they go, where's your church at? Where did you plant a church? Where did you start a church? And I said, we're just right outside of Nashville. And they're like, really? Like, yeah, really. And if for no other reason that this church exists, it exists to try to help us in this culture teach a true gospel and not a false gospel, which is that the gospel is not about religion. It is not about our church attendance. It's not about all of these things, these rights and wrongs. It is about a relationship with Jesus Christ that changes us. Because why? Because the gospel changes everything. And when it's real, it changes us. You finding yourself as a Christian, like, you know, just kind of hitting the brick wall, like, man, I just can't seem to, like, get the mojo going. I don't feel like God's really doing anything in my life. Well, let me ask you, are you being religious? Or are you spending time with Jesus? Because you can't not spend time with Jesus and him not change you. Because the gospel changes everything. It's easy to be religious. It's easy to go to church. It's easy to serve. Sometimes it's hard to have a real relationship with Jesus. We're so bad at having relationships in this day and age. We would rather have a relationship through social media than we would have a real relationship with somebody. And in fact, that's what we're guilty of. God is calling us into a relationship with him, and he'll change us through it. Joey talked about salvation. You know, and at the end of the day, if we understand just alone this one principle, and this is going to carry through as we're talking through this morning, this one principle, and this is a quote from J.I. Packer that a friend of mine named Scott Thomas blogged about. And in this particular quote, he says, God saves sinners. You'll talk about some good news. That's good news. You know why? Because we're sinners. And we need somebody to save us. We need that. Desperately need that. God saves sinners. And I got to tell you, in the moments of my life when I'm falling into sin, when I'm going back to that sin that I just can't seem to keep, you know, from getting over or whatever it is, even in the moments when I feel like I am defeating sin through the work of Christ, I am humbled at the thought that God saves sinners. than Ben brought this past week. An unbelievable message on the gospel and its involvement and its including the kingdom of God. And I think for a lot of us, I think this past week was very challenging. If you missed it, you need to listen to it. A very challenging message for all of us in understanding the kingdom of God is not something that is way on down the line, but it's something that is happening now and came when Jesus came. And his kingdom is here, and that we are citizens of two worlds. And for us to have just even the inkling that we are citizens of two worlds and not just citizens of this world changes everything for us. Changes how we look at things, changes how we spend money, changes how we spend our time, changes the relationships that we're in and the conversations that we're having with people. It changes the importance of just understanding how just desperately we need Jesus and how desperately we need to be close to him. Because let's face it, we're making decisions constantly about whether we're going to invest in the kingdom of here and now or the kingdom of God that has come. Those are decisions that are passing away or eternal. And we got to start thinking that way. We got to start thinking about that. Like what's really important? This week, I spent at least an hour doing something that you're going to love. In fact, I'm interested to see if anybody else did this week. I spent at least an hour on eBay this week researching consoles that go between bucket seats and muscle cars, most of which I have never owned or probably ever will get to own. The consoles, okay? It's a thing, goes in there, usually around a stick shift or something. Consoles. Just out of curiosity, did anybody else do that this week, even for 1 minute? I'll give you a minute to my hour, okay? Anybody? I didn't think so. That's how I spent an hour of my time this week. And in the end of it, I walked away going, wow, I didn't realize that console could really bring $700. That's awesome. I got to keep my eyes out for one of those so that, you know, if like I find a good deal on it, then I can like buy it and put it on a shelf and stare at it. That's a good idea, right? Passing away and eternal. Passing away and eternal. Where are we investing? I think for so many of us, we're falling into this whole thing of just, you know, we're just okay with just being Christians. We're okay with just knowing Jesus and that's enough, but you know, we're not really going to work on our relationship with God because that seems like a whole lot of work and I got a lot of stuff to do, right? And it's, you know, all of my stuff is so important. I've got so much important stuff. I think for so many of us, we're going to wake up one day and we're just going to recognize, man, did I waste some time? Man, did I waste my gifts that God has given me? Man, did I waste talent? Man, did I waste opportunities to get to minister to other people because we were so busy? I don't say that in some kind of guilt thing. I'm saying we. We all struggle with this. But here's the thing. We take the collection of the last 7 weeks and we understand that those things together could possibly be, and I'm not saying that they're the perfect thing or that they're the it thing or whatever, but collectively they are an attempt at trying to be the fulfillment of the gospel, a fullness of the gospel. And if we take that And we just like, oh, that's some great knowledge, and God really changed my heart about some stuff. You know, what good does that do? If we take that and we live by that, if we live by that, do you know what that is? Do you know what it is for us to live by that? That is gospel living. For us to keep in mind as we're making decisions, as we're doing things, as whatever it is, we're living our lives, as we're having conversations with people, and we're keeping in mind the work that God has already done, it will change everything. But only if we let it. At least in our lives. So what now? What now? We know that all of that gospel. I want to read a passage of scripture together. In fact, it's Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, if you don't have a Bible with you, throw your hand up. We've got some people that will bring you a Bible, and you can use it even if you left it in the truck or whatever. You know, don't worry. Just get one. Use it. Be in the Word with us. Ephesians 4. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to take that one home. So they're here with the Bibles. These guys are breaking their arms to get these things down here for you. So, you know, take one, please, for the love. Use one of our Bibles if you don't have one, all right? Make it worth everybody's while. Let me tell you what, yesterday was awesome. We had a hunter safety course here at our church. Unbelievable. One of those things that would have been completely off the radar for me. I never would have thought of that. Dr. Scott Loxley had thought about that, had the idea of maybe that being a way for us to reach out to our community. Unbelievable, of group of people that came out yesterday. I think we kind of guessing at least 250 folks or so were here yesterday. We had people here from our church feeding them food, bringing, you know, serving, ministering to them, loving on them. It was awesome. We were shooting shotguns out here in the parking lot. How awesome is that? What church was doing that yesterday? That's so easy for me to go, like, what church was doing it? Yeah, that's stupid. But no, seriously, it was a great opportunity. I want to say thank you to Scott and thank you to everybody that helped out yesterday. It was a great day. And right before they took their test yesterday, this was kind of crazy because, like, right as I got here, they were about to take their test, and they just sat down, and everybody had their pens out and probably already started kind of taking their test. And they ushered me in and walked me right up here and said, hey, this is Chris. He's our pastor. He wants to say something. And I was like, okay. Well, hey, you guys. And so then I talked about Jesus. and it was good. And I invited them to come back and told them we wanted to love on them. And it was a great opportunity for our church and for the kingdom. And that's what I'm praying for. So this passage of scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 17, it says this. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart, their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. You read that right. I love the way he says that. That is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Bam! I love this. Love this passage of scripture. Very beginning of this passage of scripture, Paul here is writing this letter to a church at Ephesus. This is a church that he helped get going. This is a church that he loved these people. He knew what was going on there. He had a clue. And he's not just writing some random letter to them. He's writing a letter based upon some type of concern that he had for them. And he starts out the letter with this. And let me preface this with saying, they are Gentiles, okay? And he says this. He says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. I mean, think about that for just a second. What if I came today and I just said, hey, everybody, I've got some concerns, and we're going to start off the day with, let me say this to you guys. that you must no longer walk as Americans do. How's that set for you? Because that's in a sense what Paul is doing here. Paul is in a sense saying, you guys have got to quit walking like the people that you are. What does that mean? I think that if we just think about this for a second, I think it would start to make sense to us. I think that we would find and understand just even in this day and age, this day and time in our country that where we live, as people think of Americans, what do they think about? What are we known for as a country? And I can totally see God saying to us, you need to quit walking in some of those ways. If that's what it is meant to be, that person, then you got to stop walking in those ways. In fact, he goes on. He goes on right after the, you know, he says, you know, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. But does that sound like people that sounds like our culture? It sounds like so much of what we come against, so much of the opposition that is against us as Christians. We totally can understand that. We can totally see that. He goes on and says, they have become callous and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Man, he could be talking about us. He could be talking about our nation. He could be talking about our world in general at this time. Let's just face it. The whole world is kind of at that state. But he's talking to believers. And I want you to remember that as we read this. Because as he's talking to believers, he's saying that you don't need to do that. Which means that they have been doing that. He is concerned for them because they've been doing this. And he's saying, don't do this anymore. And when he's saying they've been doing things like they've become callous and they've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity, But that is not the way you learned Christ. He's just comparing to them and saying, you guys don't need to fall into this anymore. You guys don't need to fall into this. It's not the way you've learned Christ. And he gets a little like tongue-in-cheek, almost maybe sarcastic. I'm not real sure. I'd really like Josh Gibson to really interpret the next part of this, because he is like the sarcasm king. I love hanging out with Josh Gibson. If you've never gotten to hang out with him, I think he's going to be teaching in a few weeks, and that's going to be incredibly awesome for many reasons. But you know, right here he goes, and he's like, you know, that's not the way you've learned Christ. And then he says this, assuming that you have heard about him, Jesus, and we're taught in him, and the truth is in Jesus. And right here, Paul just brings it right into the centrality of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, the work of Christ, what God did through his Son, through his life, death, and resurrection. Unbelievable. Even the creation of this world, if you want to go that way. But I mean, it's all over the place. And in right here, he says, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is just such a great passage, because it doesn't matter if you're a believer, if you're not a believer, this passage speaks to you. It speaks to me, okay? We are challenged with the thought that for us to live in our sinful, wicked impurities is something that we don't have to do. We don't have to do. You want to know one of the things that the gospel changes? It changes freedom. It changes slavery. You're like, what? We getting all civil war here today? No, chill out, all South people. No, what it's talking about is that we no longer have to be slaves to sin, that we have freedom in Christ. I mean, that's like so much. Like, if we could just get that some days. If I could just get that some days, if somebody would just walk around behind me, and when I'm getting ready to sin, would just like, you know, and if you are up for this and you've got the time, and that you can carry a skillet or something, okay? And you can just hit me on the back of the head every time I'm about to do something stupid, and go, hey, remember the freedom in Christ? Yeah, you're about to be stupid and be a slave to sin. You want to go there? And I can go, I'll probably still be so stupid, I'll go, yeah, I think I want to do it. And then just like, whap, just hit me right in the face or something, okay? That's what I feel like I need some days. I don't know about you. Maybe you're not struggling with your sin these days. I don't know. But the truth is this, and I'm experienced, so I can say this. The truth is this, that our way always stinks. His way always rules. Every time. And I know this because I have tried it my way 10,000 million times. And still, yet every time when I really seek the Lord, I spend time with Him, I let Him lead me in my decisions, and I do it His way, unbelievable the things that God does. Unbelievable. Unbelievable the things that I've gotten to see God do. And that's with me being stupid at least the majority of the time, I feel like. You see, we as believers are not slaves to sin. Christ did not die that we would continue to be in chains with our sin. He died that we might have freedom from death and freedom from sin. This passage of Scripture, when He says, that is not the way you learned Christ, I am afraid that a lot of people have learned Christ the wrong way. And Christ has been made out to be this boogeyman character that is coming to get us because we sinned. And so we're constantly in this state of focus on our sin. And don't you know that God doesn't want us to be focused on our sin? He wants us to be focused on Him. And that's the gospel. And if that is our mentality, it changes everything. Every single thing in our life is altered with that state of mind. Colossians 3, if you want to turn there, verse 1, is another very similar passage. And I just felt led to read through it with you guys today as we're looking at this morning. Colossians 3, verse 1, and Keith actually put this on me this week, and as I've been thinking and praying about this, I just wanted to read through this because I think that it's so appropriate. And it's very fitting after reading Ephesians 4. And here again, Paul is writing to another church. And he writes this in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. That sounds simple enough. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he starts into a list of things, and you see a bunch of them there. In fact, if you go back to Ephesians 4, you also see another, like, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, Paul is, obviously, he's probably heard about some of these things that are going on, and he's trying to confront these believers and saying, hey, guys, I'm hearing about this, I'm concerned about this, You guys are getting involved. Listen, stay away from this stuff. Stay away from this stuff. And I'm not teaching through those lists of things. And honestly, I'm doing that on purpose this morning because I'm not interested in you walking away today feeling like you need to fulfill some lists. And that's not what Paul's intent was in writing that, not what God's intent was in using Paul to write that. It's God's word. But I think for us this morning, if we just take an understanding of what it looks like for us to set our minds on things that are above and not things that are on earth, for us to die to those things, for us to put to death those things that are earthly, that are in us, that's the struggle that we've got going on, and that's the struggle we're going to have until the day that we die or the day that Jesus comes back, whichever one comes first. I just want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning that your life would not be about earthly things. And I want you to challenge me that my life would not be about earthly things. I have right now sitting in my basement an earthly thing that I think very much of. And you'll think it's funny. Some of you will. Some of you think it's cool, and I want to hang out with you guys when you're done today. I have a 4-speed. It's this transmission. It's a 4-speed. It's from the 60s. Goes in a Ford. It's called a top loader. They're beautiful, beautiful things. I love to find these things. I have at times had 3 or 4 of them for no reason at all, and you wonder about me in the console thing, which is really weird. But this particular transmission is going to end up in my old rusty car, and I'm looking forward to it being in my rusty car. I was doing premarital counseling this week with a couple, and we were kind of crash coursing, did like 8 hours in 1 week with this one couple because he had just come back from the Middle East as one of our Army guys. And anyway, we've sat down there, and the first day we were down there, I guess she stared at it a lot. The second day we were down there, she finally spoke up and was like, okay, I've got to ask the question, what is that thing sitting in your floor? And he was a car guy, and I knew he would totally know what it was. And I said, well, he knows what it is, I bet you anything. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a transmission. I said, oh, yeah, that's a 4-speed transmission, top loader for muscle car. It's what everybody wants right there. Power in front of it, you know. Chirping tires, getting it going. The thing about my 4-speed sitting there is most people can't see the beauty in it because I drug it out of a barn or something. It's just nasty. It's dirty. It's rusty. But the thing is, you open it up, and on the inside, man, it is pristine. It is ready to go. I could bolt it in a car looking nasty and just start burning rubber with that thing if I wanted to. But here's the thing. It serves no real good purpose sitting in my floor. Until the day that it's put in a car and it's actually used, and then it's going to be, you're going to hear me, running around the church or something with it. But I'm afraid that we have a generation of Christians that's just kind of where they want to be. They want to be sitting in the floor. And on the inside, they're taking it in. They're getting the knowledge. I got the knowledge of the gospel. We're doing this gospel series at my church, and it's awesome. And I've learned so much. But until we put it to work, put it to practice, allow God to change us, not just on the inside, but to be used on the outside with that knowledge, we're just setting the floor. We got no purpose. We got no mission. Let me ask you a question. Without purpose and mission, do we have a life? Because is our life really worth just spending hours consumed doing things like looking at consoles to old cars on eBay? No. That's not a life. That's not the life that Christ has intended for us. He has so much more for us, for his kingdom, for him to be glorified through us, that if we would set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, that God would begin to do things in us. And instead, so many times we are like the Gentiles, and we're just living in the sin, and we don't care, and we're just doing it however we want to do it. Let me just remind you, our way always stinks. Our way always gets us nowhere. You go, well, Chris, no, my way, you know, I've done this, and I've earned this, and I've accomplished this. When we get to the point where we are saying those things, what I was just saying, where we go, well, look at this, I've got this, and I've got this great collection, or I've accomplished this great thing, and I got this trophy for it, or I've got this title, and my family is picture perfect, or whatever it is, those things have become idols in our lives. And Jesus no longer is. And we can't do that and be on mission for God. We can't do that and live with real purpose for his kingdom. You see, the gospel changes everything. It alters all views. It brings freedom. We talked about that, right? It brings purpose. It brings mission. If you're taking notes, in Colossians 1:23, we see that it brings hope. And I don't know about you, but I need hope. We all need hope on days like today, in times like these, in places like this. And most of all, and this is not some complete exhaustive list, this is just what I came up with off the top of my head. Most of all, I think above all else, other than bringing glory to God, the gospel, which this does bring glory to God. The gospel brings us from death to life. That's good news. That's the kind of good news that when we hear it, doesn't matter if the curtains are burning down and all the kids' arms are broken. We're like, that's good news. And that makes everything better. And we need to hear it. And we need to keep preaching it to ourselves. And we need to keep teaching it to one another. So maybe you're just stuck in the sinful rut right now. And you're just going, well, Chris, I hear that the gospel changes everything and all this stuff. Look, here's the thing. I'm not interested in getting all the way into sanctification today and how God is going to make you. We're going there next week, okay? That's happening. But I want to say this. I want to share this one passage, John 8, verse 31. And not too long ago, we went through the second half of John 8. And this was one of those passages that we went through. And in fact, it was just, I think it was the passage that just sparked the whole study of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks that we did there in the second part of the chapter of John 8. But this particular two verses, verse 31, verse 32, I want us to read together because it brings us a reminder and I think will help us find some clarity to how we find freedom. And it says this, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, which meant they were believers, they believed in Jesus. And he says this, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You having trouble with sin? You keep going back to it, can't seem to overcome it. Same thing every time, same story, same song, same dance. You're tired of it, you're ready to get rid of it. Let me just tell you something. The only way you're going to find freedom from those things, the only way you're going to find hope is this right here. That if you abide in my word, Jesus says, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, here's what happens. When we spend time with Jesus, when our relationship is real with him and it is not some religious thing that we do on Sunday mornings, it becomes something that alters and changes everything in our lives. and the gospel will show us sin for what it is instead of the shiny things that we see that it is in the moment that we want to do it. And we need that. We need to be set free. But here's the thing. We got to spend time with Jesus. It is a relationship. It is not about religion. And maybe that's not how you heard about Christ as growing up. I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point because you're hearing it the right way at this point in time. You're hearing it the gospel truth way. That this is about Jesus. This is about a relationship with him. And that relationship is what changes everything. The gospel is going to change everything. I know it is a huge struggle to try to live for Christ. One of the books that we put out there, on purpose, we put this book out there called Living the Cross-Centered Life. It's by C.J. Mahaney. And we probably have a few copies out there. This book is a very short read. It's easy to read. I mean, you'd knock it out if you sat down in a chair with it probably in about an hour. Probably not even that long. But it is just a very simple, helpful, gospel-centered book that helps us see what it looks like for our lives to be centered around the cross. And a guy by the name of Tony Rinke wrote a little excerpt out of this book, and it's really about three of the major themes that are in this book. They're not throughout the whole book, but they're in a certain section of the book that he just really wanted to pick out. And really, just to be honest with you, I just liked what he said so much that I just wanted to read it. So I'm going to read this paragraph for you of what Tony said about a piece of the cross-centered life. So just bear with me. I think this is going to hit home. This is going to set in. You guys are going to hear yourselves in this. I hear myself in this. This is what it says. The danger of legalism is the first of these three themes. The danger of legalism is thinking God is more or less accepting of me based upon my spiritual successes and failures. The second theme, subjectivism, is the danger of basing my relationship with God upon how I feel today. So based upon how we feel today, we decide whether or not our relationship with God, or depending on, you know, what we think about who even God is. By the way, God doesn't change. He just changes everything. The third thing is condemnation. It says condemnation is a sustained sense of guilt or shame over sins for which we have repented to God and any appropriate individuals. You still beating yourself up over stuff you did a million years ago? Sins that you committed, we all do that. We all fall into this stuff. And you see what happens, this stuff starts eating away at who we think God is. And these are false gospels. He goes on here. I want to read the rest of this, just a little short piece. It says, the cross reminds us that our acceptance before God is based upon the obedience of Christ, not upon our obedience. Did you get that? I'm going to read that one again. The cross reminds us that our acceptance before God is based upon the obedience of Christ, not upon our obedience. Our objective hope rests in the complete work of Christ, despite my subjective feelings, and there is no condemnation for believers, despite painful memories of past sin. You know what he's getting at there? He is concerned for the same thing that I'm concerned about, and that is that there's a bunch of Christians walking around in chains. Not just are they walking around with this sin that they don't feel like that they can let go of, but they're walking around with the legalism. They're walking around thinking that how they feel changes who God is. They're walking around thinking that the sins that they committed long ago that they've already asked for forgiveness of are still weighing on their shoulders and keeping them from growing in Christ. And let me tell you what, they are keeping us from growing in Christ as long as we let them be there. As long as we let the evil one sell us down a road that those things are true, and guess what? Those things are not. Those things are a lie. because I love what he says, that the cross reminds us that our acceptance before God is based upon the obedience of Christ, not upon our obedience. And we so need to hear that. And that's why the central piece of the gospel always comes back to Jesus. It always comes back to the complete work of his life. It always comes back to the cross. And when we take it from that perspective, and we think about the cross, we meditate on the cross, the cross causes us to respond. That's what worship is. It's a response. And as we respond from the cross, our response can be any number of things. Our response can be rejection, that we don't believe in what Christ has done. Our response can be that we don't care right now and we believe in it, but we just don't care because we think that we've got something figured out that's working pretty good. Or our response can be of one that is of appreciation and love and adoration, because God has not just brought some good news, he brought the best news, he brought the good news, which is God saves sinners. And we need it. And I'm glad that he brought it. And this morning, you may be here and maybe you've never heard about the gospel. You've never heard about Jesus. I don't know. But I just want you to know this morning that God sent his son Jesus to die for all sinners. That those that would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And I would love to invite you to know Jesus as your Savior, that you might get to experience that same eternal life, but that you would also get to experience what it is like to live this life right now in both kingdoms going on at the same time for the glory of God. That you wouldn't do it alone, but that he would do it through you. For those of us that are believers, we're reminded that we're not to act like the Gentiles. We are to look different. There is supposed to be a difference. Doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be in this world. We are. We know that. We're called to it. It's part of the mission of God that we would be here and that we would proclaim Christ, that we would love God, that we would love others, that we would live out the gospel. But here's the thing. If we're really living out the gospel, then we are allowing it to work through us to change everything else. Not we live in it and it changes us, this world I'm talking about. But that God would use us as instruments of grace to change this world, because the gospel changes everything. Let's pray together. God, thank you for Jesus. God, thank you for the cross. God, it is by your grace that we can be here together and hear and try to understand more of who you are, the message of the gospel. And God, it is only by your grace that we have the opportunity to not just hear about it, but to respond to it. And God, I pray this morning that our response would not just be based around how we sing on a Sunday morning, but that our worship would be something that is lived out in every aspect of our lives, and that you would use it to change others and this world. God, may our worship be for your glory and your glory alone. not just to help us to feel better about ourselves, but God, we don't need to feel better about ourselves, because God, you save sinners and you've saved us. And God, there's somebody here this morning, God, that hasn't believed in you. And maybe today, God, that you would speak to their heart, that they would believe in you today, that they would know you today. God, I pray for that. God, speak into their hearts, speak into our hearts as believers, God, that we wouldn't be in shackles and chains, but God, that we would find freedom in Christ. Lord, we love you and we thank you.